So we are starting tonight a very new topic, which is Dina Achnasas Shabbos. Dina Achnasas Shabbos literally means the halachas relevant to the beginning, the Achnasa, the beginning of Shabbos. It does lead to the beginning. It does lead to a general topic of Oineg Shabbos as well as Hadlokas Neiros. And other relevant topics, they're all very, very, very important and nagia to every single one of us, every single Shabbos, many of those halachas. I would like to therefore start with a bit of a thought, which I feel is really important, something which bothered me, and I feel it might be an opportunity to just discuss that together. And that's the following. We're going to be talking about dine of the very first halacha we're going to be seeing is about mitzvah lirchoit kol gufoi, one has to wash oneself for Shabbos. And he talks about cutting nails. That's also one of the very early halachas. He talks later about all the halachas, the way we have to mechabed and honor and respect Shabbos, prepare ourselves for the kavod of Shabbos. And really, there may be an appropriate question that one should ask. And that is, if Shabbos is such a holy day, which it is, if it's such an important holy day, and it's a day which is sanctified, and it's got kedusha and helikite in it, surely it would make much more sense that we respect it and we honor it in a similar way to Yom Kippur, that we refrain from activities. And how does it fit in the picture at all that we have ma'anikit, we honor it in such a mundane and profane, in such a gashmistic way? Surely it would make much more sense. The more holy the day is, the more helik the day is, the less gashmist there should be. But in reality, we see exactly the opposite. We see there's halachas, we need to have su'udas on Shabbos. We're not just stam su'udas, they need to be good, geshmaker su'udas, and they need to be lacking nothing. And then there's halachas. There is halachas about how we have to honor Shabbos, which you're going to see now. And really, it sounds at first, but so used to it, so we don't ask. But really, if we're thinking about it, really, it sounds ironic. It's a holy day. And it's, since it's got helikite and kedusha in it, how does the whole gashmistic element fit into the picture? It should be the opposite. I mean, the natural approach should be quite like Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, there's shvisa, there's the din of shvisa, of refraining from any gashmistic activities, and there's the concept of refraining from the five inuyim, which that in a way sounds much, much more natural than what we find on Shabbos. So what is pshat in it? So, it's a good question. It's a fair question, isn't it? It's a fair question. So it bothered me for a while. I heard it years ago, initially the first group, but I actually saw, I think, I only recently saw a pshat that really, really, really made a lot of sense to me. And that is what Rav Deslin Chelekei Mamash throws just a few lines in it, but I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it's very, 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 very understandable in the halach. But I'd like to explain it through a story. He doesn't say that story. But I'd like to explain it with the story of the Abderav. It's a famous story, but I think it's exactly what Rav Desla means. I think so. The Deslis of the stories of the Abderav. The Abderav, one of the G'doylei of the Chassidish masters. And the Abderav was approached by a simple person who never had no money, but he had four daughters. And they were all of marriageable age. And he had no money in previous generations. If he had daughters without proper good money to marry the off, you were really, really stuck. And that's what he was. He was really stuck. And he had four daughters. Imagine 23, 22, 21, 20. You know, they were all a marriageable age. And he couldn't marry them off without money. And he had no money. He went to the Abderav. And he asked the Abderav, what shall I do? I don't know what to do. So the Abderav, he said, you know, you should go to the market in Leipzig. Leipzig, we all know in those years, was the very grand market in Leipzig. And that's where people would sell merchandise. And it was the grand Leipzig. I know Chayotim speaks about the market in Leipzig, and Halach, it's often quoted the Leipzig, the grand market in Leipzig, and in Germany. And he said, "But I've got nothing to buy, nothing to sell in the great market in Leipzig. What do you want me to do?" He said, "You know, here he gave him 5 rubles, which is the equivalent of £5. And you go to the grand, and the first business you encounter, the first opportunity, you should buy. You know the story, Moshele. The first thing you should go for it. The first business you should go for. The first business you encounter, You should go. And he said, okay, 5 rubles. He doesn't, the Rebbe tells him to do. You don't ask questions, do you? The Rebbe says you should do it. You go. So he takes the 5 rubles and the train ticket and he goes off to Leipzig. In Leipzig, he goes to the, and he sees a whole massive market and people are busy and he goes there and one person noticed him and he said, what are you here for? And he shies away because the business over there, the merchandise is sold for thousands, even tens of thousands, and the people have got roads, massive roads of schoire. And they approach him and they say, what are you here for? And he says, well, he shies away because with 5 rubles, you can't really do that much. But he's squeezing, and asking, he said, well, I don't really have that much, but I've got 5 rubles over here. What can I buy with 5 rubles? And they start laughing. It's all Yidden, but assimilated Yidden. And they all start laughing and laughing. 5 rubles, what are you here for? It's a joke. It's ridiculous. What are you here for? 5 rubles. And they start joking. But then one person is a clown. The clown makes choizik. And he said, 5 rubles, you know, you can't do anything with 5 rubles over here. But if you want, ma'ilim haba, do not mix this in my life. I did not mitzvah in my life. I'm completely assimilated. Okay. My mitzvah, my olam haba is worth 5 rubles. My olam haba is worth 5 rubles. Because I've done no mitzvahs. But he's very timistic, very naive. The Rebbe tells him the first business he encounters, he's going to go for it. He says, okay, you are happy to sell your olam haba for 5 rubles? And he says, yes, for 5 rubles. He says, okay, I'm happy to give you 5 rubles for olam haba, but I want to have a contract with 2 witnesses. And the person says, of course, they're all laughing away, they're having the laugh of the week, and they're all mamash laughing in their journey. And they make a contract, and he says, one witness here and second aid over there, witness, and they sign the contract, and Mahapa is sold for five rubles. And he takes the contract and gives him the 5 rubles, and off he goes. And that's as far as he's concerned. End of the story, he goes off, and he says, tomorrow he's going to go back home, and that's it. But this person, he's got the 5. In the evening, he gets home to his wife, and he starts telling, we had a good laugh today. We didn't laugh like this for ages. I can still feel that I'm still in pain from the. And he tells, and she's serving supper, and she said, "What was the laugh about?" He says, "I had this fun, 5 rubles, olam haba, and everything." And then she says to the husband, he says, "What do you mean? You've got the few mitzvahs you have got, the little bit of value you've done, have hardly any mitzvahs in your life. The few mitzvahs you have done in your life, you saw that." Shaitashib Olam, she says, you're such an unwise person. The little bit you've done, you've sold, quickly go back and get it back for him. It's not worth the five. It's not worth the deal. The little bit of mitzvahs you've done, you've sold, and you've left with absolutely nothing. And then he says, okay, it was just a joke. She's like, I'm not interested. Joker here and joker here. You better get it back. I'm not serving you supper. You pick your battles, he decides, and he says, okay, fine. He starts searching for this yeet, and he goes, and eventually finds him. He says, listen, it was just a joke. Here are the £5, contract, let's exchange again. Take back the £5, I want to come. He says, no. Business is business, you know, we're not negotiating. And he said, no, please, £5. Do you know what? He says, I'll give you 10. I'll give you a tenner, but just give me back the contract. This was just a joke. He said, no. Business is business. Rebbe said, first business after encounter. He said, no, listen here, I'll give you 20. He said, no, I'm not. Business is business. The deal is a deal. It was agreed. And then he goes up 20. He goes back 50. He goes 100. And he goes up. He's a very wealthy man, a very wealthy merchant. He goes up and up and up until he reaches 100, 200, 500, 1,000. Eventually, he offers a lot of money for that until he realized that's enough to marry off my first few daughters. I'll be all right with that. And then he said, okay, if you're really prepared to give all that, here's the contract and renullify the deal from before. He gave him the few thousand rubles. He in turn gives back the contract. And with that, he goes back home. And the story continues. And that's really the important point. He goes back, and on his way home, before he even reaches home with his big wallet of money, he goes to the Abdurov. And he asks the Rav, he tells the Abdurov what happened. And he says, I want to ask you something, the Heilige Abdurov. I want to ask you, now I've got enough money, Bokhshem, to marry off my daughters. But I want to, in reality, how much was his Olam Haba really worth? This Yid, yeah? Initially, he sold his Olam Haba, the few mitzvahs that he had. He sold them initially for £5, for 5 rubles. But when he purchased it back and he acquired it back, he was prepared to spend a couple of £1,000 for it, a couple of 5 rubles for it. I wonder, in reality, how much was it really worth? Was it worth 5 rubles, the mitzvahs that he did? Or was it worth a couple of 1,000 rubles? How much was it really worth? What's the answer? How much? Infinite. Ah, very moedig. So the Abdov said, the Abdov said, when he was prepared to sell it for 5 rubles,
Have you any of the Abdurav option? You've got Ichas Abdurav option. Probably.
So the Abdurav Moshe, the Abdurav says that when he was prepared to sell it for 5 rubles, it was only worth 5 rubles. The mitzvah is worth 5 rubles. If you're prepared to sell it for 5 rubles, that's how much it's worth. But the minute he was prepared to pay a substantial amount of money for it, he was prepared to pay that much money for those few mitzvahs that he kept. That's how much they were worth. That's takamat. That's in reality in Shemaim, he had that value. It depends how much you're machshav it. And this is the story of the Abdurav. It's a chesidic story, but I must say I found the raya from it in the Gemara, and there's a Gemara in Tanis, and Mamash sounds like that as well. So that's it's definitely the concept. It's not a chesidic concept. It's definitely, I'm saying, it's a Makor in the Gemara from it. So Rav Dessler, if I understand Rav Dessler correctly, that's the way he approaches Onik Shabbos. We want to, it's like a heilige day. And maybe from initially we would have thought that Shabbos is such a heilige day that we would correct refrain from any kashmistic activity. But Rav Dessler explains that because it's so heilig, we must be machshavit. We must give it the importance and the value that it deserves. And how do we do that? If we'd refrain from any gashmistic activity every single week, we would not be able to hold it strong. We wouldn't be able. He would lose eventually. No, if you imagine you'd have to do all the regular stuff on Shabbat. He would lose its value, its chshivas, its beauty in our eyes. He would lose. He would absolutely lose. So therefore, Chacham Mesakan, the Kosel Shabbos Oneg, it's from the Nevi'im, from the Torah, that we have to give it its gashmistic importance in order for us to machshav it correctly. In line with that, for us to see its beauty, for us to give it its importance, Chachamim were mesaken and established that we have got the approach and the attitude has to be accordingly. Rabbi, does that make sense? Yeah, it does make sense. Yeah, I think it's very. I think that's what Rav Dessler means. Okay, having said that, let us see the halachas of Dinah and also Shabbos. And we're in page 62, and let us see what Shulchan Aruch teaches us exactly how to be ma'anek and how to be machshiv and how to honor Shabbos Kodesh. Mitzvah lichot. First halach is we must shower. Mitzvah lichot. We must wash ourselves. Her Ramah says kol gufoy, our entire body. Ve'im yevshalo lichot. And if you cannot do the entire, if you can't wash your whole body, at the very least yichot ponov, yadov v'raglov, then you should wash your face, ponov, yadov, your hands, v'raglov, the feet, pechamim, with hot water, so cold shower won't do, perev Shabbos on Erev Shabbos on Friday. V'mitzvah lochuf haroish, with regards to, you have to shampoo your hair, lochuf haroish, the head, v'legaleach ha-tziponayim, you have to cut the nails, perev Shabbos on Friday. Says the Mishnah Berurah, sivkotn aleph, Mitzvah lirchot mipnei kovet Shabbos, because of honor of Shabbos. The halacha of washing ourselves is because of kovet Shabbos. Mikol nokem ein zechoy v'gmura. It is mitzvah, but it's not absolute obligation. V'mekayma mekabel of schar. If you do it, you get reward for it. V'she'ena mekayma einu nen shalah, but it's no direct punishment. There's no direct punishment if you don't do it. So it's the correct thing to do. It's the right thing to do because of kovet Shabbos. But if you don't wash your whole, if you don't wash, you won't get direct punishment for it. You have to be extremely careful. You've got to be very, very careful that this doesn't lead, chas v'shalom, to any averas. How could it lead to averas? How could washing yourself on Friday lead to averas? When it comes to the winter months, Shayom and Ksarim, when the days are very short and Shabbos is really early, Shayoshvin Kimat Shasheikh, people sometimes have their showers. They come really late from work and they want to have a shower for Shabbos, and sometimes they're running a drop too late. And Shayoshvin Kimat Shasheikh, even if you just think, okay, I'm going to be out of the shower before Shabbos, it's not good enough. Gam ken mizdam in Issa Liodo, it could still be an Issa. Shepa Omim, at times, Husarik is Roshab Soif. You dry your head at the end when it's Shabbos, Shimelech the Raisa b'Shabbos, which by drying Schita, you're doing Schita, you're doing similar Melochas on Shabbos, it's not good enough just to be out of the shower on Shabbos. You must be completely ready before Shabbos. And he says, "Gamotzu she'acha goma kol ha'pula isoche da'alontis ma'mayim sheni v'laboy." Sometimes people squeeze out the towels. Who bichlal mechabes, and that's also mechabes. That's also misudiraisa kivoy shelav she'evul lekamon b'simon shin beis. So a person has to be very careful. V'roy lekol mishenoga yiras Hashem b'liboy. It is right for anybody who's got yiras Hashem in his heart. Limnoyas omizah. Not only that, you must be careful, but you also should tell other people about being careful about this. V'schus harabim. Yeah, totally, boy. And by being warning others, you're going to get great merit by great chus of ensuring that others are also careful with it. And a person should always be careful not just about himself, but also about others. As the Gemara says, "Call me sheish loylim chos man shebeisav einu moche." Whoever is able to be moche to protest with his own family, with an einu moche, and doesn't protest, nitfas ba'avona and shebeisav, he's also punished for the averus in his own household. Whoever can protest, his voice is heard in the city. And doesn't protest, nitfas be'avon anshe iroi, gets punished for the averus that happens in the city. So we're hearing that a person has got to be very careful not just to wash himself, but also make sure that it's done timely on before Shabbos. If you feel you're running out of time, then don't go for it. Not only that, but it's since the Mechshel is Motzah, since it's very common that people get run late, so therefore not only you have to be careful, but also ensure that others in your house are also very careful as well. Lichoitz, Siv Cotton Base, are also women obligated to wash themselves before Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah Siv Cotton Base teaches us, Lichoitz, Gam Al Anoshim Shaych Mitzvah Rechitza. Yes, women also have to wash for Shabbos. Humeachoyrev Shemaim Ktzorim Ve'en Lehem Pnaim. If on short Fridays they're running late, he came on mitzvah chitz with name with them. At the very least, they should wash their faces in their hands. Also, men, if there's no time, they should only wash their faces and their hands. I'm Beli Rabbe. Nowadays, this was obviously talked about before in previous generations where there was no showers in the houses. So nowadays we are much better off. But still, the rush is still there on Fridays, and the time pressure still exists. So if really, really one person runs out of time, then the Medina de Gemara person only has to wash his feet, like the Shulchan Aruch says, Ponov Yad V'Raglav, that's Medina de Gemara. It's his face, his hands, and his feet. And that's Medina de Gemara. Now, Kol Gufa, Mishnah Berurah says, if Kotten Gimel, that's behind the Bechamen, should be in hot water. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Dalet says that actually with regards to the feet, it's not as important. Why is the feet not as important nowadays? Sifkot and Dalet, Mishnah Berurah says, V'raglov ke'es energin lezoi b'zeh. People are not so careful about the feet nowadays. V'ef shadavka minoseim shirigilim leilich yochev. V'dako lichas b'mayim. Mibne ovak v'ofer. So nowadays, our feet are very well protected. We've got socks, we've got shoes. There wasn't cell phone understood in previous generations. And therefore, nowadays, we don't have to be so makbid on it. Previous years, feet were black, so you have to unblack them before Shabbos. But nowadays, we're not that dirty, and therefore, the obligation of washing our feet is not as severe as previously. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says that the Shulchan Aruch says we have to wash on Be'erev Shabbos. V'uadin b'chol zeh Be'erev Yom Tov, aval b'yom chamish shelo yaveh ikore de Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah says that it's not only on Friday, but it's also on Erev Yom Tov as well. Thursday is not considered washing for Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah says, and imken yev shelo lichotz Be'erev Shabbos. If it's impossible, then you could do Thursday. What if it is possible? So we're learning that Friday is not an alternative. Excuse me, Thursday is not an alternative. If there's no option on Friday, you can do Thursday. But that's if you know for sure Friday you cannot wash yourself, you can do it on Thursday. Yeah. Oh, very good. How about Thursday night? Is Thursday night al-Khatkhil the alternative, yes or no? Yeah, because the night goes according to the day. Yeah, so Gabi says that it should be okay. The Maaseh, the poskim say that as far as this halacha is concerned, we don't say Laila Hoylecha Chayoyim, and Thursday night is considered Friday already, and it has to be Friday day, and therefore Thursday night is only if there's no option at all, then it's as if the Shulchan, as the Mishnah Berurah says, no option, you can do Thursday, but otherwise, don't do Thursday. But the poskim do ask a shalom, which I remember in yeshiva days, was very relevant, and there was a shalom, was very, very, very busy and hectic, on Friday later on. So could you do on Friday morning? Could you do a shower for Shabbos on Friday morning? Hoy on the short Fridays, they can be very relevant. Can you have your Shabbos shower on Friday morning? Friday. It's Friday. It's Friday. Is this okay or not? It's okay.
It's Erev Shabbos.
The post came Amartel even lechatchila, and they say that Friday is Friday, as you're saying, and Friday morning shower is perfectly acceptable. Yeah, and Lemaisa, the Mishneh Berurah says that Thursday is no good, unless there's no alternative for Friday. Right, now, Shulchan Aruch goes into Legalech Kol HaTziponayim Be'erev Shabbos, cutting nails. It's unbelievable how much halacha there is about cutting nails. It's quite interesting how much halacha is cutting nails. Let's see the Mishneh Berurah says about the halachas of cutting nails. Sivkot and Vav. Be'erev Shabbos. Uv'yoyim chamishi makpidin shloy litlon. Don't cut nails on Thursdays. Why? And therefore what?
No, it's not Shabbos
things.
No, it's not.
It's a problem with
it. I mean, if it grows, it grows.
It promotes growth. For years, I misunderstood this Mishneh Berurah for years, until someone explained it to me recently. I also always understood, for years, mama's years, I understood the Mishneh Berurah like you. That it means that there's some sort of tzemach, promoting growth, something like that. That is like an element of, it's not really, of course not the reis, it's not the rabbanon, but it's an element, if you're doing something which makes the nails grow, when you cut it, the following day nothing happens. The following day after that, that's when he starts to grow, when it's noticeable. Yeah, exactly. Okay, but I always felt that it is a... And if you look at the Mishneh Berurah, it can be misunderstood and misinterpreted that way. Because it could mean like that. If you look at it, but now that I understand the Mishneh Berurah, it doesn't mean that. Huvyayim chamishim akpidin shnoi litlan, says the Mishneh Berurah, and sifkot involved. Did you ever hear about that? Not to cut on Thursdays? Yeah, so Mishneh Berurah can be misread like that. V'yom chamish makpidin shlo litlon b'pnei shatziponayim maschil lachzor v'litzmoch b'yom shlish legiluchon. It could be learned like that. That because you are making it grow on the third day. So that's Thursday is the first day. Friday is the second day. On the third day on Shabbat it starts to grow again. It starts to regain. So that could be Mishneh Berurah could be meaning like that, but that doesn't mean it doesn't mean that. Yeah, maybe. But it doesn't mean that. And there's a raya for it, but it doesn't mean that. The raya is that, what it does mean is that nails tend to grow very quickly. And if you cut them on Thursday, there is going to be a lack already. It's going to be starting to grow already. So if the whole halacha is because of Kavod Shabbos, so you've got to cut it, you must cut them on Friday, so they should be nice, neatly cut on Shabbos. But if you cut them on Thursday, it starts to grow already. And it will be noticeable. It won't be that neatly cut on Shabbos anymore. That's what it means. It's starting to grow already a little bit on the third day. And it's not going to be... Pardon? So therefore, that's exactly the right. That by head is no such halacha. By head is no halacha that you have to do it on Thursday. Doesn't say anywhere. So you mustn't do it on Thursday. And that's all good for the guy. What's the difference? The answer is because so according to that, you're very good. You shouldn't be shaving on Thursday. You shouldn't be shaving on Thursday. But cutting hair, there's no halacha of cutting hair. Cutting out that you mustn't because it won't be noticed after 3 days. It's still very neat. Very tidy still after 3 days. Because on the second day it doesn't grow so much yet. After 3 days, on the third day, it's not that neat anymore. It's not so short and neat anymore. After 3 days, you can tell already that it's starting to grow. After 2 days, it's still okay. But on the third day, it starts to grow already. It's not so neat anymore. It's not Kavod Shabbos. Yeah, I think that's Pshat in Mishneh Berurah. It doesn't make sense. There's no such thing as causing it to be Tzemeach. I mean, even you're allowed to plant seeds on... If you know something takes 3 days to start growing, outside in the grass. Yeah, it takes 3 days to grow. Hayal aladas. Would anybody occur that it's also to plant something on Thursday? You know, after 3 days it starts to grow. There's no such issa. There's no such issa because it's happening automatically. It's happening naturally. Makes sense, pshat. That's pshat mishtabur, right? That's pshat.
I mean, if you say that, I mean, because if you have the yontif before or after Shabbos, yeah. It's always going to be. Let's say you got a Shabbos and then the yontif.
Yeah.
So then it will be on the yontif. So, I mean, so you. Yeah. It'd be impossible.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that is pshat. V'im kein ein ze tippen kovat Shabbos shechoyz alot seis. Yeah, I mean it's pshat in Mishneh Berurah. Now, Rabbi Sai, are you all makpid? Am I not cutting feet and hand, the nails the same day? You makpid? Yeah, no makpid. So the Mishneh Berurah says, Yeshekotzvu, some write, Shaloi lokut sipone yudam reglem b'yim echot, you should not cut fingernails and toenails on the same day. And some say you should only cut them on Friday on Erev Yom Tov or on Erev Yom Tov. So the feet should be done on Thursday. That's also proof, like the earlier pshat. Why can you do toenails on Thursday? That's a proof. If there's something that is causing a growth, it wouldn't make sense that you can be allowed to do toenails on Thursday. Right? Toenails Thursdays, hands on Fridays. Now there are mekilim. Now Mishneh Berurah said you shouldn't do them on the same day. And I know that some people are extremely makpit about this. And if you are makpit, one should be makpit. One should be very careful not to cut toenails and fingers on the same day. I know that some are lenient. I've heard some gedolim have been mekil as well. And they said that if it's an Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to do both. I know that some are lenient, but Mishneh Berurah does say one should try to be makpid. Yes, Naftali. We'll speak about that still. Yeah. So if you're makpid on it, then don't do Friday then. Take it on to Friday, so you go earlier. Yeah. Yeah, and we'll speak about the order. We'll speak about the order. Still, I want to speak about that properly. But not
the reason for cutting toenails and fingernails on the same day is the same reason.
The reason why, there's two reasons why I quoted. Why are we not allowed to cut them the same day?
For the meat.
Yeah, so the one of the two understandings is that it's because of that. That's the way that's what's done for Chalila. Barminon, a person who is niftar, so because of that, we refrain from any activity which reminds us of a niftar, and therefore one doesn't do. I know that people who are involved in the Chav Kaddish are extremely makbid about this. They'll be very, very careful not to do it. They'll be extremely, extremely careful. There's another. I saw that some bring down that it's kosher l'shikcha. It's kosher l'shikcha, it causes forgetfulness. Some have been quoted for that. I've seen that in Sfarim as well. Okay. Rabbi Sai, we're running over time. Okay, we spoke about Din Achnos Shabbos. The introductory thought was Rav Dessler's explanation about the concept of Oinik Shabbos. We spoke that Halacha is to wash oneself, Bedi'eved, just to hands, feet, and faces. Lechat Chela, one should do one's entire body. Hot water, shampoo, and the halacha is that, however important it is, don't run into Shabbos. You have to be careful, and you have to ensure that others are careful too. We learned that feet nowadays are a little bit more lenient because we tend to cover our feet. We learned that the halacha is not only on Erev Shabbos, but also Erev Yom Tov. We learned also with regards to cutting nails, person should ensure not to cut nails on for honor of Shabbos. One should not cut nails on Thursdays, and one should refrain from cutting toenails and hand nails the same day. More on cutting nails tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.